coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, the 20th day of October, 2021. It feels like 1979, maybe. The Carter presidency on steroids multiplied by, I don't know, a gazillion, whatever number you could possibly multiply. The misery index, well, hey, misery loves company, doesn't it? And believe me, the left wants to spread misery. HagmanReport.com, that's the place to go for your programming information and, of course, show notes and what have you. That's HagmanReport.com, two hands on Hagman. I want to welcome you today, and I want to apologize. First, let me apologize for Monday. I was just out of sorts. Look, you know, the loss of a good friend, a brother, and somebody that's so, so close to me. And Eric and all of us here, our families, and the loss of Russ Dizdar really just it took the wind out of me. Okay, so Monday, if I tried to just put together a little bit of a reference to him to honor him and or to at least memorialize him. I shouldn't say honor, but to memorialize him. It's rough. It's rough. You know, folks, you know, you've lost people close to you and things have happened, right? But, this one really hurt. And, so I just want to say thank you for putting up with me on Monday. I hope to have members of his team, chime in. Craig Sawyer, who's, a brother as well, Vets for Child Rescue. What is just a wonderful man, a strong guy. And a guy that really that got to know Russ as well. We've all been working together. So I want to just say thank you for putting up with the mess. And at the same time, the jaw issue I have, which that kind of went sideways as well Monday. And so yesterday I had to get that temporarily fixed until my surgery to fix what's going on there. But I won't bore you with that. So now at least I can think a little straighter, talk a little better. It's funny, I asked the surgeon about what's going on. And I said, will I be able to talk? You know, can you fix my cadence and my stutter? And so he said, hey, look, I can't work miracles, okay? I can just fix your problem. So, yeah, and Eric laughed. No, you don't have that, but nonetheless, that's number one. Number two, we did not have a show yesterday, and that was because of this. So, thank you for putting up with me, and I hope I don't want to do that. I mean, I want to have shows, and we have so much going on that we can't afford not to have them. But thanks for understanding. The third thing, in amongst all of this, I had a conversation with Steve Quayle yesterday. Please keep Steve in your prayers. Look, the guy is a trooper. I mean, he is, I love the man. And we had a great conversation yesterday about a number of things. And he wants to come on tomorrow. He wants to come on for an hour tomorrow. All right. And I said, brother, if you want to, great. I said, but please, if you last 15 minutes, I understand, because he's still fighting the uphill battle. And we know that, we know how that can be. So, but he's doing well. And we had a long conversation about, a number of things, but, you know, he's getting tired. He gets tired out easy. Of course, I get tired out easy. So, and I'm fine. But, so hopefully tomorrow, maybe Steve will make an appearance. And again, you know, I thank you for your prayers and for Steve. And, by the way, thank you for your prayers for, Russ's wife, Shelley. And by the way, on that, the Russ Dizdar, situation, another kind of an announcement, if you will. I've been getting hammered. I mean, just hammered with, with messages from people. You've got to refute this. You've got to talk about this. You've got to. And what this, what I'm referring to is a message on social media, and I'm not even going to dignify or validate the pukes behind this message. The absolute pathetic bastards behind this message. And if that's offensive to you, I'm sorry. Because what offends me is when a group that their sole job in life is to escort women so they, the women can kill the their unborn babies. That's their job. When they put out drivel that is 100% lies. I mean, about Russ Dizdar. Why a 100% lie about his final hours. I'm going to say this, all right? What you have written is libelous. What you have indicated and suggested is actionable. Now, you know who I'm talking to because you monitor this program and you monitor Dave Dobmeier's program. But what you have written is a bunch of lies. Now, you either take it down or you're going to find out exactly how wrong you are. Again, I'm not going to dignify this group of nuts with any kind of, I'm not going to show it on screen. Except to say it's a pack of lies and it's libelous. It's libelous. Maybe we should show it. It's up to you. You want to show it? Let's show it. I'm going to read this for the radio audience. I'm going to read this. I can't. What is this? Louisville Clinic escorts. I hope you're proud of yourselves, by the way. You hide behind this moniker on social networking. Here's the tweet, which got, by the way, 27 likes. Okay, what's wrong with you people? That was a rhetorical question, but I've been saying that for a long time. What's wrong with you people? But to the author of this tweet, whoever this might be, because you don't have the guts, certainly you don't have the facts, but you don't have the guts to use your real name and to speak the truth, because none of this is true, except the first sentence. Here's what's true. Russ Dizdar died this weekend. Now, the rest is a bunch of crap, and it's libelous, and I would really suggest you take it down. I'll read further. Oddly enough, according to Dave Dobmeier, oh, really? You might want to recheck that. Sherry Tenpenny personally administered vitamins and minerals to Dizdar at his home. Oh, really? You might want to pull up the transcript. And according to Dave Dobmeier, DD, it's written in the tweet, she watched him take them. Oh, really? The next day he died. Oh, okay. That's a somewhat of a statement. Now, I can't read that from here, okay? But you know, the rest of this, the rest of these are just continuous lies. So for the people who get their news from Facebook and Twitter and social media, from people that don't have the guts to use their names, to sign their names, to put their faces out there, to put their names out there, I have a suggestion. Lawyer up. It's enough that family has been put through hell. It's enough that that team has been put through hell. It's enough that everyone going through this is already distraught. You've got to come in and spew your lies. Well, it pisses me off, and I suggest you stop it. All right. Speaking of being peeved, I'm going to show you what today, of course, Dick Levine. Richard Levine, not Rachel, but Dick Levine. Here's what our U.S. military, or not U.S. military, but here's what our Health and Human Services looks like. But military too. Rachel Levine. Now that's got to be a misprint there, because as far as I know, he was born Richard Levine. He's from my home state of Pennsylvania. Transgender official sworn in as a four-star admiral. Now see, this is the setup for what's coming. Richard Levine is dressed like I don't even know what pronouns to use except the biological he. Appears to be like a woman, dressed in an admiral's uniform, or whatever you call it. So this is being celebrated in America today. How woke the American military is. Okay, now, you can put that down before I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. All right, so let's go to clip one. And this is important, because on deck is Dr. Richard Proctor from ProvisInstitute.com. And he's kind of stepping back and going, oh, yeah, don't yell. But he's coming up here. And we're going to go through all this stuff and even more. But here's what we need to know about the military. And you saw, folks, this past week, the hypersonic missiles are from China. Okay, see, while we have military at boot camp marching to these woke cadence songs, MLK, do-do-do, you've got China fixing to take over Taiwan, South China Sea, oh, and coming here. But it's even worse than that. It's even worse than that. Because what Billy Bob Clinton and Hillary Clinton did back in the 90s gave everything. What they did back in the 90s, in my view, would make Ethel and Julius Rosenberg, look like choir people, choir boy and choir girl. The secrets that they sold to China for their personal enrichment. Here we are. The deals that were made by these, by Cankles Clinton and her wife, Billy Bob. Yes, I did not make a mistake there. Mr. Septic, we don't know what's going on with his infection. Anyway, what they've done is, in my view, treasonous. But here we are. And when I say here we are, let's go to clip one. This from Steve Bannon, War Room, within the last couple of days. Frank Gaffney, who I've met and had the pleasure to speak with, he knows that of which he speaks. He's a security policy security guy, and he knows what's going on. But listen to this. It's a minute. It's under 2 minutes. Listen to what he's got to say about the things are coming to a crashing point in China. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Eric the Tech, how you doing today? You all right, man? You okay? Because I didn't
doing
really.
Good.
I blew by him today. We haven't seen each other in like 3 days, okay? It's kind of, sort of, but from afar. But it's good to see you, man.
You too.
Yeah, all right. Love you, brother. All right. All right, so young man. All right, so go ahead and play clip one, and then we're going to get rolling here with other issues. Go ahead.
Frank, is Dave Brat right, or are we already in war with the Chinese Communist Party?
He is absolutely right, and you're right, Steve. He's come a long way, baby. In fact, he's a member of the Committee on the Present Danger of China. We're very proud to have him.
I believe in repentance. It's okay.
I want to give you credit specifically, Steve, to getting that thing started, because you saw the need for it 2.5 years ago, and the need is only greater now. The piece that we talked about last night and that you've just addressed again is when you ignore the fact that unlike Japan, unlike Germany, we didn't defeat the Chinese Communist Party when we decided to start propping them up and massively investing the money of American deplorables and others' pension funds and, you know, 401ks and all of their, you know, index funds and so on in the Chinese Communist Party. Make no mistake about it. The civil military fusion means everything that goes to China goes to the party. And some of it is actually going directly into the People's Liberation Army itself. In fact, we had a very near-run experience, both of you will remember, about a year ago, Donald Trump, at the last possible moment, intervened to stop what was then in the works, thanks to good old Larry Fink and BlackRock, an effort to put the pension funds of American military personnel and other government employees into the People's Liberation Army companies. I mean, this is insane. And I hope Dave is right. I think he is, that things are coming to a crashing point in China that will not only cause everybody, even Larry Fink, to realize we can't continue to do this short of the point where they are destroying us with the weapons that we helped them buy.
Okay. Did you hear that? Follow the money at times. Can you imagine American military pensions being placed under the control of the Communist Chinese Party? Are you serious? Is this thing on? Have we gone into clown world? I mean, we must. But this is under the Biden regime. This is under under Mr. Marbles, the shuffles. I'll call them shuffles. But it's actually the people behind him. And writing about the people behind them, again, is Richard Proctor. Go to provostinstitute.com. You want an education? You know, most of you know this, except this is well documented in his Liberty series. If you get into the Liberty series, you get into it. And I've got the books in my office, and I go to them all the time. All right. For reference, because a lot of what's in these books is going back to 05, or the early aughts, okay, of this century. And he spells out who, you know, this is kind of like a roadmap as to where we are today. Liberty, will it survive? It's a series. Get the books. And you will be more informed. You'll be the most informed person on your block, in your wherever, okay? I guarantee you. It's critical to understand. He also has a book on the Constitution. What the hell? I'm blanking out, man. Help me, Saving the Constitution. I look at it every day. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, Saving the Constitution. He's got that book as well. I had a cross thought there. A synapse kind of broke. Anyway, Saving the Constitution, great book, along with Bathroom Economics. Look, folks, it's just a treasure trove of information. So provostinstitute.com. I think what happened was that picture of Richard Levine kind of really just messed my head up. Again, I little threw up my mouth a little bit, but to think that this is where we're at today, this is normal. And yeah, it's gone.
What the hell? It won't go away.
Yeah. Bleach my eyes. My eyes! For those listening on Global Star Satellite Radio and affiliates, you can go to HagmanReport.com, follow us on Rumble, and comment on Rumble, and comment on Brighteon. We're also on Brighteon, a number of different platforms elsewhere. So, you know, at the moment, because that could change in a heartbeat, obviously. It could change because of this, and it could change because of anything. All right, now, to kind of set the stage for what Richard Proctor is going to be talking about, I just want to give you a couple of high points here. And again, look, folks, Liberty Series, good background. Who's all behind this crime scene that we see happening today, the crimes that we see happening today, this bioweapon released out of Wuhan, exploited by the globalists, or I should say the people in charge of the world, or who think they're in charge of the world. Where did this all start? How did this, you know, where does this all fit in? Folks, again, we've been lied to. You can go back to 1956 when the Wuhan lab was originally started and founded in Wuhan, the Hubei province in China. You can go to 1978 when it was renamed Wuhan Institute of Virology. You can go back to 2002-03 when SARS killed some 774 people. and the Wuhan lab said, oh, well, this came from bats to, and went to civets and then it went to people and oh, what a tragedy. We've got to fix this. Meanwhile, the bat lady, Shi Zhenglei, of course, is over there, you know, mixing up, tweaking bat viruses, tweaking coronaviruses in bats. You got to understand this. The structure to this is extremely important to understand. You will not understand what's happening today until you understand what happened back then, because the bat lady, along with, yes, Francis Collins, the National Institute of Health director, and, of course, the garden gnome, Anthony Fauci, they were all working together, all right, to tweak viruses, to take the viruses from bats. And by the way, you had, back in 04, this goes back to 04, you had Shi Zhenglei, again, director of the projects at Wuhan. She found this reservoir of coronavirus in bats living in caves in southern China, and she brought it to the laboratory, and she said, I got an idea. And, well, it wasn't her idea. It was actually the globalist's idea. But let's tweak these to see. Let's tweak these. You know, it was a bioweapons program. And, the EU also created the BioLevel 4 facility in Wuhan, separate from this. But I digress. The EU had its hand in this, the globalists over there. Again, some of the people that are mentioned in the Liberty series involved in that. Okay. So you move on to that half a decade from 05 to 10. The Wuhan lab started focusing on coronaviruses from horseshoe bats in western China. And it was during the same period of time that that she and her team, they published a paper in the Journal of Virology. And you, folks, you can find this. Horseshoe bat viruses can be manipulated to, and I quote, number one, infect, and number two, attack human cells using an HIV reservoir. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. HIV, AIDS, right? Eric the Tech, who was working on HIV? Who owns HIV? I know. Anthony Fauci. You know, the idol of the left? Just saying. Shi Zhenglei, the bat lady, saying, hey, we can take these viruses, we can manipulate them to infect and attack human cells using an HIV pseudovirus. Now, where did that come from? Did she just suddenly grab that out of the air? No! Guess where the money came from? Say it with me. Yeah, NIH, NIAID, Fauci, Collins, uh-huh. '09 predict program, real quick, and then Richard is going to come on. USAID, U.S. Agency for International Development. Dennis Carroll directed the PREDICT program to oversee. Well, he was overseeing the program. Look up the PREDICT program. PREDICT program. Interesting name, by the way. Investigates dangerous animal viruses that can be transferred to humans. PREDICT program began, or actually was launched at Wuhan in 09. But then one last thing. I promise, one last thing. And then we'll get to Richard. June 29th, 2009. You ready for this? Who was Secretary of State June 29th, 2009? Hillary Clinton. Kankles. Bubba's wife. And still in the picture. Department of State learned that France was assisting the stuff going on at Wuhan lab, and was assisting the initiation to set up a Wuhan BioLevel 4 lab. And pretty much they said, okay, all right, let's do it. Let's do it. Although it wouldn't be prudent, but let's do it. Now, she did happen to warn Barack, Hussein Obama, said, hey, this is getting out there. So they went through some motions. Oh, we may, you know what? We should probably just hold the money a little bit. And then, of course, within 4 years, I changed my mind. We're going to let it go, the money go, and let's continue funding this. Actually, it wasn't really a non-funding. It was just moving money around. You know how that is, BlackRock, Vanguard, places like that. But I digress. And, of course, another digression is, you know, the spending bill. And I want to get Richard Proctor's take on the spending bill because I got something to show him and I want him to respond to it. But, you know, the spending bill, you can move money around wholesale commodities if you're a billionaire or if you're a member of the deep state. But, boy, I'll tell you what. Now, they wanted to audit or surveil, more appropriately, any transaction over $600. Let me be very specific and very accurate. Any bank account balance that had over $600 in it. The blowback was so tremendous, they said, okay, we won't do that. So we're going to surveil instead in the aggregate transactions totaling $10,000 or more in a single year. Now, look, $10,000 is not a lot of money. It's a lot of money to me. It's a lot of money, but over a course of a year? No. If you got a job, I guarantee you, if it's a full-time job, you probably make more than 10 grand, right? So what's changed? Nothing. Nothing. But going back to the lab, going back to the bioweapon, going back to all this, what do we hear? We hear all the time, oh my gosh, you need to get jabbed. You need to get the jab. You got 3,000 police officers right now, I think, on the way out in Chicago. You got all these mandates for, they're going after first responders. You got to get the jab or you're out. You got to get the jab or you're out. You got people saying, screw you, and rightfully so. I mean, this is needle rape, right? Needle rape. But, hey, you got to get the jab. But you know what? They're not telling. They're not telling the full story on the adverse reactions. So I know you know, and I'm going to go right to Richard now. I know you know that on 9/11, 2,977 people perished on 9/11. At Pearl Harbor, 2,335 people. You got that? Nearly 3,000 people died on 9/11. Because, you know, the numbers, everyone loves numbers. Pearl Harbor, 2,335 perished. And from 1960 to 2021, some 1,204 people were victims of mass shootings by definition, according to the Department of Justice. Keep those numbers in the back of your mind as we talk to Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Thanks for being here. How are you doing, Richard? Thanks for putting up with me for that.
Glad to be here. Interesting to listen to these things you're talking about from China and the people involved. Oh my. And it's all hidden. Here's a thought, Doug. You can't fix something if you don't know it's broken.
True. Okay? Yeah.
Can't fix something if you don't know it's broken. You can't know what something's supposed to is broken unless you know what it was to begin with. So if you don't know what something is or was, past tense, historically, if you don't know that, you can't fix it because you don't know it's broken. And then when it gets to the point of that's broken, but you don't know why it's broken or how it's broken, you can't do anything about it. Folks, you can't fix things you don't know about. So why do we hide history? Why do we change history? Why do we make everything different? Why are we constantly lying about what happened in the past? Now, I'm going to talk about the Liberty series, that set of books. I went back as far as I could, 1776, and documented who was doing what. 76, 1780, and 1780, 1790. 1790s, I documented who was doing what so that I could show you the person, the series of events that leads up to what's happening here so you'll know what it was and who broke it and how it was broken so you can perhaps fix it. That's the goal. You can't fix anything you don't know it's broken. Now, you just talked about the Twin Towers. Okay, good. That many people came down. Absolutely. Where was our buddy Bush that day? He was in a school somewhere reading to a kindergarten class.
My pet goat.
Next. Here we have December 7th. We have a war going on in Pearl Harbor in Hawaii.
2,335 people died, by the way. Go ahead.
But he, Marshall, now, this is James, this is John C., not John's J. John J. is the guy in 1803. John C. Marshall, he's the guy, is the kingpin of the military forces in that day. Okay? He's out riding a horse somewhere. Can't be found. While servicemen are being slaughtered. Was that an accident? Absolutely not. In November, he had a media meeting. He brought the media into his office in November, I think the 17th. He brought the media into his office and told them what was going to happen and swore them to secrecy. He knew what was going to occur. You know, we blame the generals and the admirals for Pearl Harbor. They didn't do a good job, and they were crucified. But what really happened is they were told not to look to the north. What really happened is that cargo ships that were going to Russia through the North Pacific were stopped in Seattle to wait so that these guys could come. They say we didn't know. Oh, we didn't know. We didn't know where they were. You watch Tora. You think our intelligence part doesn't know anything. Folks, they knew precisely where every one of the ships in that caravan was in that convoy. Every one of those ships, they knew precisely where they were every day. Probably every hour if they wanted to. I've got a map that shows the results of that. I have the map. I have the book that discusses all of this. It's called Day of Infamy. You guys, you need to know history. You don't know history. So we know about Pearl Harbor. Do we know about World War I, how that happened? If you know the history, then you know why we're in the Middle East now. You'll know why we're there. You'll know who's putting us there. You've got to know the history. Who caused World War I? We say it was caused by a guy was assassinated. You know there were three...
Archduke of Ferdinand, to be precise. Right.
You bet. You know there were three different scenarios to kill him that day? The first one missed, the second one got him, so the third one wasn't in effect. Did you know that was how thorough they were going to get him that day? And then everybody went to the mat, you could might say, trying to get the people to know that that was a mistake. We didn't mean it. Let's not go to war. Let's not go to war. Let's not go to war. And you know who it was that said, yes, we will. And away we went. Then did you know the first December of that war, they stood down and then the forces in Germany and the forces of the Allies, they actually met, played football, had a good time, had a wonderful holiday. Then when they got back, they were supposed to fight again. They wouldn't. So they moved into the back lines, brought in people who didn't know about that Christmas, so they would fight. Who brought them back in? Who? You see, guys, you got to know these things. If you don't know history, you don't know what's happening. Many people don't believe me. Oh, that didn't happen. Hey, I got the documents. They're in the book. I've got the documents. Vietnam, we got involved in Vietnam because of a little tiny skirmish in the harbor, one of the harbors. I have to look at all these. There's too many things for me to remember all the time. Anyway, a little tiny skirmish. What did the media do? They got a hold of it and blew it up to a massive war. So then we were in a war. Why were we in that war? To win? No. We were in that war because people that wanted money needed more. That's why we were in that war. And now you want to understand how that works. There's a book called Prologue to Love, written by Taylor Caldwell, that will tell you. But people won't read these things because it's history. It's history. Folks, we are dummies. We are absolute dummies walking around here pretending like we have a republic. We don't have a republic left. It's gone. It's been gone for decades, but it's gone completely. A republic means you have representation in the government. That's what it means. Your representatives are in the government. Your representatives are in the government. Your representatives. Did I say that enough times? They're your representatives, and they're in the government. Now, that's a republic. Okay, now let's look at the true fact. Right now, every House member, on average, every House member represents 800,000 people. Every senator represents 3.3 million people. How can one person represent 3.3 million? That was started in 1913 when they decided that we were going to elect the senators rather than leave them responsible to the states. So the states would have something to say in government. The states have nothing to say in government. In fact, today the states think the government is in charge of them. Utah, not too long ago, federal government officials showed up at Utah state offices and says, hey, we want to look at these. Oh, you can't. We can't show those to you. We have a law. We can't show them. Federal law, Trump state law, show them to us. And they did. Folks, federal law never trumps state law. Never. Nobody really understands what the 10th Amendment says. Let me read you what the 10th Amendment says. The 10th Amendment, I'm reading out of the book. This one. Well, I guess show you this. Whatever the cover is. Yeah, there. Anyway, I'm going to read out of this book. You know, the book, the Bible of our country. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or the people. Now, that's written in the language of the colonial people. Okay? Now I'm going to say what it says in our language. The states cannot do anything if the Constitution says they can't do it. But if the Constitution doesn't say they can't do it, they can. That's their job. The federal government can do nothing except what's listed in the Constitution. Nothing beyond that. Now, that's what the 10th Amendment says. The federal government can do nothing if it's not listed in the Constitution. The states can do everything that the Constitution doesn't disallow. Come on, folks. That's what it says. Do you know that's what it says? No, you don't know what it says. You don't know that. You've put up with garbage from the federal government. You put up with all these things the federal government shoves down our throats and says, you do that, you do this, you do the other. And we salute smartly and say, yes, sir, we will.
Oh, Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, let me ask you a question then that would be applicable to today. From what you just said.
Is it applicable today?
Wait a second. Here's my question. So Ron DeSantis, Greg Abbott, as governors of their state, masters of their domain. I'm kidding.
They are.
Well, yeah. It was a Seinfeld joke. Anyway.
I know.
So they say, no, these federal mandates, mask mandates, federal jab mandates ain't going to happen. And you got these leftist morons saying, hey, this is a federal mandate. You've got to. How dare you try to cancel out these federal mandates? Well, wait a second. What you just said. Now, let me think. How does that apply today? Go ahead. How does that apply today?
Well, you know, here we go. You just pointed it out. These mandates from the federal government have absolutely no legality. Nothing. Nothing. Did I get that point across?
I love it when you get like that. Go ahead.
It's just terrible what we're doing. We don't know the 10th Amendment at all, and we don't believe it exists. Now, I just went through on my podcast all 10 of the amendments, Bill of Rights. I think we came up with about 5 that we might still have. Maybe 5 rights out of the 30 plus that are listed there. Oh, guys. And are we complaining about it? Oh, no, we're going right along with it. Constantly. We do exactly what the federal government, if they told us to wear red, if the president came out with an executive order that says you wear red on Mondays, by Jove, the whole nation would wear red on Mondays because the president said it. We got to do it, so we better do it because we got to do it. What right does he have to tell you that you got to wear red on Mondays? Then what right does he have to tell you have a mask? What right does he tell you to stay apart from people? What right does he tell you that you can't go to work? What right does he have to tell people that they have to take a shot? None. Because he can't tell you to wear red on Mondays. You think that's ridiculous. Well, then look at the rest of the things you're accepting and saying he can do those things. And we'll obey. Garbage. Okay. Why don't more people rebel? Sure, a few people aren't taking the shot. They're not making enough noise about it.
Okay, so help me out with this, because to me this is like bizarre world. And folks, we are talking with Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, link in the program description box, the Hagman Report, by the Liberty Series, by Saving the Constitution. Yeah. Is it applicable? Yeah. Are we living post-Constitution? Yeah. But don't worry about it. Okay, so here's my question to you. Okay, so walk me through this. Okay, so the 10th Amendment says that essentially the governors, the states, have more power than the federal government. Okay. Is that
absolutely
a true statement? Okay.
It says that.
Okay. Now.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now hold on, because this is where a lot of people get flustered and confused, and you get the idea. So, okay. Now the government says, the federal government says, Biden, and his crew, puppet, Mr. Shuffles, Mr. Marbles. All right, everybody in the United States now that works, everyone that needs companies over 100, you need to have the jab. Okay, that's Biden. Low expectations, Biden. All right, so the states, the blue states say, okay, well, we got to enforce this. But the red states, specifically Abbott and DeSantis now, they say, not on our watch. We're head of the state. Ain't going to happen. Nope. So, okay, now here's where you got to help me out. You got people on the left, people like Brian Stelter, Mr. Potato Head. You got people on the left, and I won't name them all, but the same old usual suspects saying, wait, Abbott. Wait, DeSantis, you can't tell. You cannot interfere in private enterprise. You're interfering in private enterprise by saying that these mandates don't. You are not to follow these mandates.
Wait a minute.
Huh? Wait.
Don't you think maybe the mandate is interfering in private enterprise? Come on, folks.
Thank you.
Wake up.
Thank you.
I mean, the left over here, they are absolutely. If you put all the IQs together of these people, you'd have about four. Okay? Guys, this is the book. None of them read it. None of them know what it says. None of them know what it says. Let me give you an illustration of how stupid all this is.
Oh,
I'm going to the 14th Amendment. Okay? Oh, the 14th Amendment. Here we are. The 14th Amendment. Okay. That's the... come on, Richard. Turn the page. 14th Amendment, right there. Okay, now I'm reading out of the 14th Amendment. And this is very important because nobody knows this. Okay? All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. The damn federal government and the House and the Senate and all the people in this country believe that if a Mexican lady goes across the border and has a baby, the baby's a citizen of the United States. Because, and this is what they read, all persons born or naturalized in the United States are citizens of the United States. That is not what the document says. The document says, and, there's an and, that means something else, subject to the jurisdiction. How does a baby, where's the baby's jurisdiction? Where is she's, what, the jurisdiction of the parents. So the Mexican lady that had the baby in the United States is a Mexican person. The baby's Mexican, not a citizen of the United States. And that's what this book says. But we've all accepted anchor babies. Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah. Well, the dream. Oh, we got all these things. They're all citizens. They've lived here a long time. Now they're citizens. They haven't been citizens since the day they were born because they were born of parents who were Mexican. I'm sorry. You guys, you got to wake up. If the parents of Camille, that vice thing, if her parents had the baby on the steps of the house, the steps of the Capitol building, in front of the White House, she still wouldn't be a citizen because they're not under the jurisdiction of the United States. They were diplomats from foreign countries here in our country. And she was born.
You pointed, and to your credit, and look, a lot of people came before you on this, but... to your credit, you really drove this point home. Obama could have been born on the steps of the White House. That's Barack Hussein, Barry Satoru, Obama, whatever you want to call that, tin pot dictator, fascist scumbag in my view, but that's just me. I mean, he could have been born on the steps of the White House and Teddy Kennedy could have been his godfather, you know, whatever. Okay. But that does not make him, eligible under the Constitution. It doesn't matter if Obama was born in Kenya. It doesn't matter if he was born on the steps of the White House or the steps of the Capitol. He ain't a natural born citizen. Therefore, he's not eligible to become president of the United States. So you said that. And so Kamala, whatever her name or picture's on the side of a milk carton right now, ain't either.
You mean a lost child? Side of a milk carton? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, but to your credit, you pointed this out. Look, it's not where the person's born. I mean, the person, Obama could have been born on the steps of the White House, Capitol, whatever. Don't matter. Kennedy could have been there to, you know, roast and toast and everything else. It doesn't matter because subject to the jurisdiction thereof, right? I mean, there it
is. Yes, and that's the sentence that nobody knows is there.
Yes.
Oh, they leave out the sentences all the time. You cannot trust one word from the senators or the legislatures in our Congress. When they read from the Constitution, they leave things out to suit themselves. And then they say that's constitutional. Yeah, right. Come on, folks, get real. Now I'm talking to the 330 million people in this country that think the federal government has power. And so they give it to him. Since they think it, they allow it. What are you guys doing about the Supreme Court? They have no power whatsoever to do anything that they're doing. Their jurisdiction is listed in Article 3. There are 8 things they can do. And that counts for every federal judge. Every federal judge is limited to 8 powers. And they're listed in Section 1, Section 2, Paragraph 1 of the third article. They're listed. But they don't hardly ever do those. Because that's not enough pizzazz. That's not noticed. They said it's true. Oh, it's the supreme law of the land. No, it is not. Article 6 says very, very clearly the supreme law is the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution, supreme law of the United States. I left some stuff out of there, but that's what it means. Laws made in accordance with the Constitution are the supreme law of the United States. But if they're not in accordance with the Constitution, then they are not valid.
Marbury versus Madison.
Enter 1871. The corporation thing. The thing that they passed that says the United States government is now a corporation. USA Corp and all that garbage. Nope, the law is unconstitutional, therefore it's null and void. We don't have to worry. Everybody gets excited on the 16th Amendment. Wasn't ratified, they say. Some of the states withdrew, but they didn't pay any attention. You're right. They did not. But the key that it's not ratified is it's an illegal amendment. It does not follow the Constitution. Article 6 very clearly says the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. If you didn't follow the Constitution, it's invalid. That doesn't follow the Constitution. So therefore, it is invalid. So why do we even worry about it? Why do we pay 1040 taxes every year? Because we don't know what the Constitution says. So we're giving our money away for free. That's what we're doing. We don't have any requirement to do that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't pay taxes next week. I'm saying your state government should nullify it. And if the state government won't nullify it, then change them to somebody who will. And when the state government nullifies it, then you don't have to pay. But you must have the state nullify that amendment in your state. Can they do it? Absolutely. The states are in charge. Remember, the 10th Amendment says it. The 10th Amendment says very clearly the government can't do it if it's not in the Constitution. It's not in the Constitution, therefore it can't be done, and I don't care if it's an amendment or not. But here's an interesting key about it. People say, well, it's an amendment, you have to do it. No, 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 that's not true. Think about it a little bit. History again. History, you got to know it. History, what does it say? It says that it was passed in 1913, but that it was challenged. So when it was challenged, it went to the Supreme Court. Now the Supreme Court decides what the Constitution says, right? Wrong. But nonetheless, The Supreme Court decides what the Constitution says. Well, what does the Constitution say? It says they cannot ever, ever direct tax the people. That's what it says. Can't do it. So since you can't do it, then that becomes automatically null and void. And the Supreme Court saying that it isn't, does it make it so? The Supreme Court cannot decide what the Constitution says. They can only read it and tell us what the exact words are. That's all they can do. But they can't even do that about a law that's passed by Congress or the House and signed by the President, because the President and Congress are in charge of the laws, not the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court thinks they are. So they come in and say, that's unconstitutional. You can't do that. And everybody says, okay. But here's an interesting key. They'll go to a state and they'll hold up this book and they'll tell the state, you're not obeying this book, therefore it's unconstitutional. And that's wrong. This book only applies to the federal government. And why was it written? Why did those men gather in that hot, sweltery room and for 3 months and hammer out this document? Why? It wasn't written to give you rights. You already had them. It wasn't given to give you guns. It was not. You already had them. It was written to put chains, big chains like this, anchor chains off ships around the federal government. That's what it's written for. Chains the federal government. What does the 10th Amendment say? You can't do anything not listed here. Period. There's no question. There's no, well, if it's a national emergency, we can do it. No, that doesn't say that. I don't read that, except in a national emergency. I don't read that. It says you can't do it. There's no prevarication. There's nothing. There's nothing that can happen that allows them to do anything that's not listed in this Constitution. And the states can't do the things that this Constitution says they can't do. You know, like coin money, tariffs between the states. They can't do that. It says in the Constitution they can't do that. So they don't. But it says they can do everything else. Everything. Do you understand that word? E-V-E-R-Y-T-H-I-N-G. Do you understand what that word says? Everything means everything. It means all. But they don't know that, so they sit back and say, well, we better do what the federal government says. We better give them the records, because federal law trumps state law. Yeah, we better have mandates, because the federal law trumps state law. And that's not even a law. It's not even a law. It's a mandate written by some guy who's the president who thinks he can do laws, but he cannot. He cannot do laws. Back to the Constitution, all legislative powers are vested in the Congress. That means all laws are vested in the Congress, which means the Congress decides the laws. That's what it means. Not the Supreme Court, not the President. An executive order applies only to the executive department. Nothing else. That's the name of it. It's an executive order. So it applies to the executive department. It doesn't apply to anybody else. This name says it. It's like this thing about militias. They say, yeah, the National Guard is a militia. No, it is not. What's its name? Its name is National Guard. Who pays the bills? The national country pays it. Who gives it? The nation. It is not the state guard. It's the National Guard. So get it out of your mind that has anything to do with the Constitution. It's not written here. It's not a part of it. So what's going on? In fact, this book also says we can't have a standing army more than 2 years. More than 2 years. Unless you ask for it and you appropriate the money. So what do our numbnuts all do? They pass a new appropriation every 2 years so it can continue to go. That's how the numbnuts get around the real purpose of this book. And we let them. You know, we could stop all that if we just stopped paying our 1040s. And the states were deciding what the federal government could do and couldn't do. We would stop all that stuff. Oh, yes, we would. You realize the senators, they represent 3.3 million people? No, they do not. They represent themselves. I am a senator. I represent me. And the senators have set themselves up as the highest level of the legislature, and the House is down there somewhere. No. Who's the first organization spoke of in this book? This book. Who's the first? The very first organization is the legislature. They are the top group right there. The legislature is the most important group. The House. That's it. The House is most important. Senate is next after the House. The Executive Department is next after both of those. The judicial is way down on the floor. You can't, you know, you could say this is the House and this is the Senate, or and the executive is just a little less. Well, this one should be down here. They have 8 things they can do, and that's all. Marshall. Now, this is John James. Marshall, 1803, Marbury versus Madison, as Doug just mentioned. That is the decision that says all the attorneys can do whatever they want because it's given, their powers are given to them. So they trump laws. First, the 13th Amendment that was, we can't find anymore. The 13th Amendment says an attorney can't be a citizen of the United States. That's what it says. A citizen of the United States. Any attorney loses his citizenship the minute he passes and takes the bar. He loses.
Wait a second. That's a missing 13th Amendment.
Oh, yes, I know. It's the one we lost.
Yeah.
But I said, that's what I said at first. I talk really fast.
Okay. Sorry.
The one, you know, we can't find that anymore. Why can't we find it anymore?
It's not over here. I looked.
Yeah. 1965, Congress. All those attorneys, okay, passed a resolution to remove the 13th Amendment. Oh, so they could put a new 13th Amendment in its place. And who signed it? Abraham Lincoln. I'm really sorry that I feel really bad that he signed it. But remember, he was an attorney too. He's not a citizen either. I'm sorry, guys. That's the truth. They passed a resolution to get rid of it. They didn't appeal it. They didn't tell anybody they were appealing. They didn't do anything but secretly pass a resolution and get it signed. That's all they did. And now they all say, we're legal. No, you're not legal. No attorney is legal, and no attorney is a citizen of this country. I know of an amendment. It's not written here, but it should be. And there are constitutions in the state archives. History. Remember history? History is very important. There are resolutions in some of the state archives, not all, but some, that actually have both the 13th and the 13th, 1 and 13th 2. You could call it 13th A and 13th B. They have both of them there. One state, they have the 13th that's proper, then the next one's called the 14th, and the 14th Amendment that we see today is not even there. Gone. Not there. How can you do this? How can anybody do? We think that this is the law of the land, and we make an amendment, and we say this is the law of the land because the amendment is a part of the Constitution, and that's absolutely true. But it is not true when it's illegal, and it's illegal to pass a resolution to remove an amendment. That's illegal, against the Constitution. It's against everything. It's against the whole thing. The people passed and ratified that amendment. In 1819. But nobody paid any attention. Did you notice that? Attorneys were still running the country. So in 1965, they decided...
1865.
I'm sorry, yeah, 1865. They decided they were going to fix that and pass a resolution. Well, how am I going to make it? You can make your own illustration of what that says. You know, car can't run unless it has wheels. So let's pass a resolution. Take the wheels off the car. That's what it's like. Now, how fast can the car go with no wheels? Well, they passed a resolution. That's the law now. A resolution is the law. Take all the wheels off the cars. Stupid, isn't it? You know, it's stupid that the attorneys are still citizens because this book says they're not. Even though the amendment isn't in it, it's not written down. It's not there. It should be there.
And this, okay, so as it applies today, because what's happening today, Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, I like to think we bring the best out in him. He's on fire today, as well he should be, because that's Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, man. He's on fire. But so what's been happening over the last, a number of years? They've been removing statues. They've been removing Jefferson's getting taken out of the New York City Council chambers. They're erasing our history. They're tossing it. Like you said, it's nothing new. Removing amendments. We're going to put that in the bottom drawer. we're going to put it through the shredder.
Way down, underneath the bottom drawer. So if it's pulled out, you still don't see it.
Right.
I'm sorry. We're taking out the statues, erasing history. You want to know who erases history? Read the book 1984. I'm tired of telling everybody to read something and they don't pay any attention. Read the book 1984. Watch the movie.
Dr. Zhivago.
Watch the movie, Dr. Zhivago.
Yeah.
Let's look at history. That movie is a documentary of history. But it's a fun movie. It doesn't seem like documentary, but it is.
Yep.
1984 is a fiction book. No, it isn't. It's a documentary.
We're living it right now.
Yeah. And, we are living it now.
And that's the thing. You know, and you mentioned this. You said I'm tired of telling people to read books and watch movies. And I feel your frustration, but I got to tell you something. All is lost to me. All right. Now, I don't want to be Dr. Doom here or Mr. Doom or whatever, but all is lost to me when somebody takes a microphone and goes down to the Santa Monica Pier or wherever and puts a microphone on somebody's face along with a picture of Kamala Harris or Kamala Harris or, heels up Harris or whatever. And says, who is this? And people say, the mayor? You don't know. It looks familiar, but I don't know. Oh, that's right. Now, maybe that's a bad example because really, really.
No, okay. It's not a bad example.
Well, I mean, she really hasn't been front and center because they're tucking her away but anyway. Anyway.
Jay Leno used to have jaywalking. Do you remember that on his show?
Jaywalking? Yeah, I do.
History again, guys. I know it's current. It's history. He did that very thing. He did take a microphone and he did show pictures of people and ask them who they were. And he did ask people, even people who were already teachers, already graduated, young people, just graduated from school. They were now going to do their first teaching. And so he said to them, oh, then you'll sure know this. Who do we fight in World War II?
Canada?
Mexico? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, guys. They gave answers like that. Stupid, isn't it? No, it isn't stupid. If you do the same thing today and you go down on the street and you ask somebody, who did we fight in World War II? You will get answers off the wall that you'd never believe. People do not know anything.
Or more to your point, we fought a war of independence, who did we win independence from? And the answers were Germany? Okay.
They're off the wall, aren't they? They're completely gone.
So again, to kind of bring this home, because we start out with numbers. I went through the numbers of, the numbers, 9/11, we lost, nearly 3,000. Pearl Harbor, we lost 2,335 souls. But you had something, and I don't want it, hopefully we can segue into this because this is really important. The deaths in the U.S. from 1960 to 2021, according to Department of Justice, mass shootings during that time period, 1,204. Now you've got another number sitting there. And this might, again, this is applicable to today. And the undergirding of what you're about to hear has been laid by Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com, as well as this platform. So you've got a number there. What's that number you've got from 60 to 21 or throughout the entire period of time modern history?
No, that's the problem with that sentence.
What's that?
It takes a period of time. And nobody – remember I talk about how to lie with statistics?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's an illustration. They say this date to this date, but nobody really understands that. They only hear how many deaths there were.
Right.
But they don't understand that that's minuscule compared to what's going on today. And they give a pass to the federal government because the media doesn't tell them. Now, before January of 21, in 18, let's go back clear to summer of 18, the people of the United States considered the media one of the lowest parts of they just aren't there. They're low. We have no respect for them. Okay. None whatsoever. But all of a sudden in the spring of the next year, anything the media says is absolutely true. Actually, it started in in January of 21. Everything the media says is absolutely true. What? Where the jump? Why the jump? Because we're not paying attention to history. We're not paying attention to what's going on. The sentence, people who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. Well, there's another part to that. People who know history are blessed to repeat it, because there are good things that happen in history too. And we're blessed to repeat those. That's right. But what happens in government? Government never, never tries to help people. They only help themselves. Government is a force to destroy. Seldom does it ever create. It destroys. It has no money at all. Your money is the only money it has. So it spends your money willy-nilly however he wants to. And that's what's going on. They say have a balanced budget. You know, the Constitution already has a balanced budget. It's not an amendment. It's in the original document. What? It's in the original document? Absolutely. I'm going to read you the sentence. I don't want people thinking I don't know what I'm talking about. Here's the sentence. Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the states. Taxes from the states, not from the people. Direct taxes from the states, not from the people. And then the states have power. We're not going to pay for that. You're billing us $1 million and you're going to send it overseas to somebody who's our enemies? No, we're not going to pay for that. The states can do it. You can't. I can't. We can't do it because we'll be thrown in jail if we try to say we're not going to pay it because of that. But the state can. Remember, powers delegated to the states is everything that the Constitution doesn't limit. Everything. The states have that power. The Constitution says direct taxes on the states, not the people. We're not going to tax our people any longer. The IRS is nullified in our state. Lock the doors. And if you do a 1040, we're going to put you in jail. Because that's the state law. And the state law trumps all the federal laws. Everything.
Okay.
You never have to pay taxes again to the federal government, and the federal government would control what they pay. And how would they do it? Through the senators. That's their representative. So we took the senators out, so the states could say nothing.
Got it. And that's, again, this is part of history. So you had mentioned a couple of things. Balanced budget. Yeah. First of all, you had mentioned the media, which I'll get to that in a minute. But you had mentioned the balanced budget. Okay. In the news today, and I want your take on this, folks, Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com. He's the resident professor here of economics and the Constitution and what is law, not what somebody says is law or constitutional, but he's the guy to go to. He's the advisor to CNN. Oh, wait a second. No, he's not. No, Fox. No, he's not. He's the advisor to us. Okay. So go to ProvostInstitute.com and bone up on grab his books. But here, I want to show you something, because you had mentioned about the balanced budget. What's making news today?
And, okay.
Okay, so I want your take on this, okay? Because here's what's making news. We got this $3.5 trillion spending bill, this infrastructure bill, plus $1.2 trillion this other bill. So in total, about $4.5 trillion, $4.7 trillion. Who's counting? I mean, you know, it's close. Okay, so here is right now, here is what's in these two bills combined. I want you to comment on this based on what you just said about a balanced budget and the power to control spending and who controls the purse strings. Is that all right? Can we roll this video clip here? Can we do that? Is that all right with you? Richard, is that okay?
Oh, yes. Okay. I thought you were talking to Eric, not me.
Well, I'm talking
absolutely
to Eric, too.
Run it.
All right, let's do it. Go ahead, Eric.
Egg the media to help her sell the Democrats' $3.5 trillion tax and spend bill.
So do you think you need to do a better job at messaging? And going forward, how do you sell this if ultimately you have to
I think you all could do a better job of selling it, to be very frank with you.
Pelosi's asking the media for help, but the media can't say what's actually in this thing, because if they did, the entire country would revolt. It's stalled now, thank God, and the Democrats are panicking that we'll start picking through this boondoggle and report what's in it. Well, we did that, and here's what we found. the most expensive bill in American history, $4.3 trillion. When we built the interstate highway system, this is eight times the cost of that. They want $400 billion for government daycare. That's right. Hundreds of billions for federally funded babysitters. Literally cradle to the grave. Billions in subsidies to stay home instead of work and give unions total control of the economy. Largest tax increase in American history, $2 trillion. Higher business taxes than socialist Europe and even communist China. Taxes passed down to consumers with higher prices, fueling more massive inflation, bringing us back to the Carter years. $50 billion in death taxes makes you pay more taxes after you die, so your family doesn't get as much. $80 billion tax hike on small businesses, which just got slaughtered during the pandemic. Taxes on energy, taxes on employers, and if you smoke cigarettes, the cost of a pack just went way up. Big time tobacco taxes here. Doubles the number of IRS agents, and none are going to be allowed to look at Hunter Biden, just at the rest of us. Let's IRS agents spy on your bank account if you have a balance of over $600, which is pretty much everybody. This is the Green New Deal that most Democrats didn't want to touch because it was too politically toxic, so they just hid everything in this thing. $7 billion for the Green New Deal climate police. They wanted to fund the real police, but fund the climate police. $10 billion in Green New Deal slush funds to indoctrinate college students. $2 billion for green job training. Now, remember, Obama already tried this and he couldn't point to a single green job he created. This blocks American energy exploration, which increases our dependence on the Middle East and Russia. Great areas. $27 billion for a green bank. We're getting ripped off, guys. This is where donors go for cheap loans. It's that simple. Forces Americans to use wind and solar in places where it isn't very sunny or windy. California already did this, and it caused rolling blackouts. They basically want to turn America into California. No, thank you. We'd like to keep our lights on. Billions in kickbacks for green donors and activists. $25 million for butterflies. That's right. $25 million for desert fish. I didn't even know they had fish in the desert. And $25 million for mussels. Not these, although I'd take the money. A $4 billion slush fund for radical activists to tear down racist infrastructure. Not sure a train station can be racist, but okay. To me, it sounds like taxpayer-funded statue toppling. Maybe the George Washington Bridge is coming down. You never know. It makes crossing the border much easier, makes it harder to deport illegals, and spends $100 billion to give amnesty to 10 million illegals. Free college tuition for illegals, free tax credits and welfare for illegals, and Biden wonders why the illegals are coming from South America to get here. $500 million for, ready? Culturally appropriate school lunches. What does that mean? Taco Tuesdays? $7 billion for Ivy League schools, the wealthiest schools in the country. The word equity plastered all over this thing. That means reverse racism. $250 billion to bail out health insurance companies. Didn't we just give those guys $1 trillion last year during the pandemic? They need more money. Free housing for convicted felons. Beat your wife, here's some rent money. Penalizes getting married. Keeps single mothers stuck on subsidies and includes taxpayer-funded abortions. Grants to treat people for loneliness. I'm sorry, but I'm not paying for someone to find dates. There's an app for that. Let's bring in senior advisor to President Trump, right, Stephen Miller, to help us
there
digest.
There you go. You can put it. So that's what's in this massive spending bill. And he's right. If Americans knew what the heck was in it, they would revolt. Or maybe not. Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, you just heard what's in there. What's your take on all this?
Don't ask me my take. Ask me what I think the people's take will be.
Okay.
They won't pay any attention. The numbers are too big and too far away. They won't pay any attention.
That's a great point. You just said something there. And please, folks, understand this. The numbers are too big and too far away. Until you see it. For example, pull up to a gas pump today. How much does it cost you to fill a tank? I fill up my gas tank today. You know how much it cost me? $70 flipping. You know how much it cost me on January 20th, 2020? Or 2021?
It cost me 84.
84 or whatever, yeah. It was $1.84 a gallon on inauguration day. So you're right. Until it impacts people.
But you see, Doug, the gas has affected us ever since he banned the Keystone Pipeline and all that stuff. Ever since that dope in the White House banned all those things, the gas has been going up and up and up and up and up, and nobody complains. They just fill their car and go along. Oh, I wouldn't have to pay this. Stop it! Get your state to nullify all that stuff. How do you get your state to nullify it? Well, it's not too tough. Really not too tough. What you do is you get a legislative body that has a little bit of backbone, just a little bit, and they nullify some of these things. And they have the power to do that, okay? They nullify the 16th Amendment, okay? All of a sudden, you no longer have to pay any federal taxes. Any. Zero. So the federal government comes to the state and says, tell you what then, this is how much money you got to pay. The state says, nope, we're not paying it. Look at that bill you just did. We're not paying it. Oh, and by the way, everything, not one thing in that bill is constitutional. Not one thing is in this book. Not one thing. I'm sorry, guys. We're stupid. You know, the guy who says chocolates. The chocolates are nice. Mother likes chocolates. Gets chocolate, sits on the bench.
Forrest Gump.
Thank you, Forrest Gump. We think Forrest Gump is dumb. Folks, he's a genius compared to the rest of this country. A genius. At least he knows some stuff from his mother. He understands some things. But the people in this country that just say, oh, well, oh, woe is me. That's okay. I don't know. I don't care. And they're saying it. They're saying it. And who are they? Typically, they're not the people watching this show. But I have people. Now, here's a thought. We did our podcast last night. Okay? We did our podcast last night.
Patreon meeting last night.
I'm sorry. We didn't do that. We did our Patreon show last night.
Right.
Boy, I got too many P's mixed up here. We did our Patreon show last night. Now, one person said to me on that show, said to everybody really, but said to me, I'm just one person. What can I do? And that's the problem. So we talked about that for a while. That's the problem. I'm just one person. What can I do? Well, what can you do as one person? Let's see. Let's look in history. History. Paul Revere was one person. There was one other fellow who went around with him too. But Paul Revere was one person. What did he do? He went out and warned people. And what happened? There were two guys, two, went out and warned people. And what happened? All the Minutemen gathered and beat the British Army. Two guys. That's all it took. Two. If they hadn't ridden, nobody would have known, and the British Army would have taken the arms, and we would never have had a Revolutionary War. So two guys, look what they did. Now, Longfellow only gave credit to Paul Revere. But it's a nice poem, so it works. But folks, that's history. You gotta know your history. One if by land and two if by sea. Do you know how hard it was for Paul Revere and partner to get across bay so that they could even see the two lights that would be in the church? You know how hard it was to get across the bay to just do that? He had to be on the other side of the bay because he couldn't swim over there. He's got to ride a horse. Did you know he didn't even have his own horse? He got across the bay and had to get a horse from somebody else. Did you know that? I mean, folks, you got to know your history. So what happened? That guy said, no, I'm not going to give you a horse. I got to have him in the corral next week. I've got to use him to pull a plow or whatever. So he didn't ride. So the Minutemen didn't show up and we didn't have a Revolutionary War because the guns were confiscated in Concord. Do you get the picture what one person can do? Now, that's history. Let's give another piece of history. One lady stood up and said, you can't teach God in school. And what happened? The Supreme Court in 1962 and 63 said to all of us, You can't teach God in school. And now they'll crucify a kid if he's got a Bible in his hand when he goes to school. What is wrong with us? Because we let people control us that have no authority to do it. We don't know what they're doing. We don't pay any attention. One person wrote a book called Silent Spring. In the 50s, she wrote this book, Silent Spring. Now, I'm sure she was paid by some other people to write it because it was a very important book. But she wrote a book. And that book brought the governments of the world and the UN and all the backside influence to ban DDT. What was the result of that one book? At least that's how they put it. It wasn't really that way. The real story about that is somebody came to her and said, write this book. Who was that somebody? Let's just use a name. George Soros came to her and said, write this book. So she did. They paid her to write it too. So this is what really happened. This is what happened. So she wrote that book, published it. What happened? George Soros went to the company and told them to publish it. She was a no name. We're not going to publish that book. We won't make any money. We'll lose. No, we'll pay the difference. Just publish it. We'll keep track of it. We'll pay you. That's the real story. Now, she then published the book. Now, governments began to see that book. Because why? Because Soros and company made sure that everybody said it was the best book. Bye-bye. Read. Bye. And they also said what was in it in case people didn't read it. And they got governments to say, DDT is killing the birds. Stop it. Then it went all the way to the UN. Who controls the UN? International Banking Establishment. So going there didn't mean anything. But it went there, and they said, we banned DDT worldwide. Result, the continent of Africa and a lot of India. Millions are dying in Maine because they can't use DDT. They have to use mosquito nets. You know how to get bites from mosquitoes? Use a mosquito net. They're pested. They're real pests. They'll get in under anything you've got. You find a place that they can get in, they will. Mosquitoes are not barred by mosquito nets, but they were barred by DDT because DDT went under the swamps with the places where mosquitoes flourished and killed them, so there weren't any. Now, DDT was used all over the Western world already. You note that? And then they decided to not let anybody else have it, i.e. Africa. Now think about the result. Think about the whole thing. Africa? What's Africa populated by? Black people. So what does that say if you just listen and think? The series said, we don't care about you guys. We're using DDT until we eradicated those diseases in our country. Now they're eradicated. Now we'll put DDT out, have the UN stop it so nobody can eradicate it in Africa. So it wasn't eradicated in Africa, and it's still a problem. And millions are dying and millions are maimed because no DDT is used. Millions of who? Millions of people in the United States? No. Millions of people in Europe? No. Millions of people in China and all around there? No. Where? Africa. And some in India. Lots in India. You see what they aimed at? That's what they aimed at, folks. Listen, watch history. That's what they aimed at. Did you know that it was the Democratic Party, which many, many black people worship, that caused the Ku Klux Klan? Yeah, but you don't know that because you don't know your history. It's all hidden from you. You can't go to school and learn history.
Robert Byrd, Hillary Clinton. And as you were talking about DDT, in the studio audience, a little short black young man just stood up and said, "What you talking about, Willis?" I'm kidding. It's a reference to a television show, but you're absolutely right. Hold that thought just for a second, folks. You're listening to the Hagman Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network for as long as they'll have us until they, of course, gather together and ban us. But before I get back to Richard Proctor, again, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, link in the program description box. Before I get back to him, I want to tell you something because this is important. We talked earlier about money, the trillions of dollars and budgets and stuff like that. Well, hey, look, you and me, we've got to keep our pocketbooks, closed, and we've got to be mindful of what we're paying out, right? We have a budget. Folks, are your credit card bills keeping you up at night? Interest rates in the double digits? Of course they are. If you look at the statements, they are. It should drive you mad. Well, I've got my friends at Lightstream have a solution for you. Be smart and pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Rates start at 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. And you know what? The rate is fixed, so it's not going to go up over the life of the loan. And you can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. There are absolutely no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the same day as you apply. It's fantastic. My friends at LightStream have fixed this up for us, for the listeners and viewers of this program, just for you and me. We've taken advantage of it. I urge you to take advantage of it, because as we enter into this era of uncertainty, we've got to manage our money. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That is LightStream, lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. The lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply. And offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will be glad you did. You will thank me later, as I always say. And I've had many emails saying, hey, you know what? It was a great experience. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to thank my fine friends at Lightstream for making that offer available to the listeners and viewers of the Hagman Report. All right, my guest is Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Folks, if you haven't done so already, go to Provis Institute. Get the book, Saving the Constitution. Get the book's Liberty Series. Oh, and for extra credit today, get the book, Bathroom Economics. Because, really, you get a Bible, you got Saving the Constitution, which includes the Constitution, and you got Bathroom Economics, which includes pretty much everything about economics you need to know, and Liberty Series, which gives you the backstory of where we are today. It's a one-stop shop for everything. Really? That, a Bible, and maybe an AR. I don't know. Or whatever your self-defense shield of choice might be. ProvisInstitute.com. P-R-O-V-I-S, ProvisInstitute.com. Link in the program description box. Richard Proctor is, of course, just on fire today. I like to think I had something to do with that. Mate, you know.
Yes, you do.
All right. I'll tell you what. You're at your best today. I love it, Ben.
By the way, I'm going to do something.
All right.
I can't do it easily. Just a minute.
Don't pull a tube in now. I'm kidding, folks. Sorry.
10% would be $12. It's 16. Okay.
He's calculating
my
tip.
For the listeners today, just like you just said about Lightstream, I'm making an offer. Worldly Liberty Series. Not 5% off, not 10% off, not 15% off, but 16% off. In other words, the whole series, instead of $120, $100. No shipping, no taxes, no nothing. Just call. You can find the number on the website. Just call.
Man, you can't beat that with a stick. A C-note gets you the Liberty Series. You know what? You can't even take a family of four out to eat for a C-note anymore, $100. Really?
And the fact of the matter is that the books are priced so cheaply that we almost can't keep up. But the $20 is already a discount from the $30 to $29.95 that they wanted. And one guy wanted me to charge $50. We're already doing a discount at $20. We'll do an additional discount. Down 16% less.
Okay.
Just call in order.
All right. Now, in the program description box, we're going to make sure that your number is in there, your phone number is in there, folks. Look, take advantage of this because I'm not sure. Blink twice if you're being held hostage or being made to say that, because I want to make sure it's okay. You're okay. No, I'm kidding.
I'm okay.
All right.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, okay.
I can blink. I'm not on the screen now.
And there you go.
Oh, now I am. Blink twice.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right. So, that was if you were being, you know, forced at gunpoint today. But you know what? What a great offer that is. $100 out the door for the Liberty Series. And you know what? This is not, I don't get paid for this, okay? Richard, that's a heck of a deal for your life's work, and I appreciate that, especially to our audience. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I started writing that book in 1960.
Jeez, that's serious.
Is that a couple of years back? How many listeners weren't even born yet? That's when I started writing those books.
I'd like to say me, but nah, not quite. So that's a really, so $100 out the door for the Liberty Series. Wow. I didn't expect that. So it's good stuff. All right, folks, take advantage of that. $100 Liberty Series. Call Richard Proctor. Lock it in, because you know what? He might change his mind 2 days from now, a day from now. I don't know. So
it's there. It's there. Just call. Just call. Now, don't expect us to jump on Saturdays and Sundays. Please call during the business hours. Just call. We'll take care of you.
Man.
We will. And if we're on the phone, just leave a message. We'll call you back. Don't worry about it.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool of you. Thank you for doing that. And folks, again, take advantage of that. What a generous offer by Richard Proctor, ProfessorInstitute.com. Because I'll tell you what, the books are invaluable resources, and you're not going to find those, the information there anywhere else. So ProfessorInstitute.com. Thank you very much for that.
You could not create that book if you started today to write it. You could not create it. Not possible.
No, and I'll tell you something. And I think I said this last time. I was looking at I think it was volume 3, I don't know, one of the volumes, and you had cited a story in there, printed the entire article, and I went to find it on the internet, and it wasn't there. Now, you can use Internet Archive, dig, and sweat, and cry, and, you know, stomp, and ultimately you could find it, maybe, but not easily. But so that really sold me on the value.
There's another piece to that. You wouldn't even have been looking for that article if you didn't see it already.
That's true.
Weren't even looking for it, you wouldn't know it existed, so you couldn't find it. If you don't know something exists, you can't find it, even if it is available.
That's right.
The picture there. The only way you looked for that is because you read that and you wanted to look at that article. Just to make sure that, you know, whatever reason. That's the only reason you look for it. But if you didn't know it, you wouldn't find it, ever. That's why I said it's impossible to write today. The stuff that's in there is, it's history. It's history, guys. Look, I'm going to show you something. I can't. I put it over there. I can't show it to you. Okay. One of the books that I use as a source in my Liberty series was written in 1798. Now, how many of those are you going to get on Amazon? Written in 1798. Now, maybe it's available, but if you don't know that you want it, you're not going to find it because you didn't know the name of it. Because I didn't just tell you the name of it just now. Okay? Proofs of a Conspiracy is the name. Proofs of a Conspiracy, written in 1798. This guy watched the Illuminati being founded. He watched it happen. He watched how it worked, how it threaded its way into the French Revolution. He watched this, how it threaded its way through Germany. He watched this happen. He writes about it. Proofs of a Conspiracy. John Robison, R-O-B-I-S-O-N. If you can find it, get it. Folks, that's the kind of stuff that's in here. You don't have to look for it. It's already here. I already have in volume 6. I have a book list of many, many books, just a list. Do what you want with it. But they're there. Another list of authors. Look, read books from these authors. It's there. The list is there. You don't have to hunt. Who should I read? Oh, what should I do? What book should I find? They're there. All you have to do is look. It's in the book, in the books. But if you don't know, see, for example, there are a set of 3 books called The Methodical. There are more than that. I just want to say that much. Called Methodical. It's listed. They're listed. Those books give some truths about 9/11 that you've never heard anywhere else. Never heard anywhere else. Okay? Here's just one item that she points out with absolute, she, the author, points out with absolute certainty. Planes are built with the least heavy, the lightest material they can do. The lightest material they have. They got to fly. They got to be stay up in the air. It's already a problem to get 29 tons off the ground, okay? But they're getting 100 tons off the ground. They got to have the least, the lightest possible. Some people have to, in the past, if you weighed too much, you had to buy two tickets. They got to get you off the ground, okay?
That's racist.
No, I mean, I'm talking back in the 50s.
Yeah,
I don't know how many people around here took a plane in the 1950s. I did.
Oh yeah, and let me tell you, when I began flying as a passenger, obviously, you dressed up, you acted, you didn't wrestle the, you didn't wrestle with the stewardesses, okay, not flight, but stewardesses. You didn't breach the cockpit, and you know what? You didn't wear sweats or sneakers on an airplane.
Right, and they give you a meal too.
Yeah.
Nice. It was nice.
Yeah. And actually, you had actual silverware, you know, actual butter knives and steak knives and stuff. Now today,
Yeah.
That's why we can't have nice things.
This is in 1960 now, not 1950. I flew in the 50s, yes. But this is a trip I took. I started in Salt Lake, flew to New York. This is all in 1960. Okay. These planes are puddle jumpers at that point. Took all night. We left in the evening, took all the morning. The next day, a helicopter from one airport in New York to another airport in New York. Then we got on a plane that took us south. It was a prop plane. No jets. 1960. Sometimes they had engines that were jet propelled, but they still ran props. Took us 40 hours. Where did we start? Salt Lake City. Where did we end? Curitiba, Brazil. That was quite a trip. Ever taken a 40-hour plane trip? That's what it was. 40-hour plane trip. When I came back, it was 13 on jets, 707s. But what I'm trying to point out, you know, things change really quick. But you've got to know some history. You've got to know history, folks. You've got to.
Real history.
What is the Constitution for? What was the purpose? What is the purpose of this book? To put chains on the federal government. That's all it's for. Nothing else. So people are free. And give the power to the states. Except in some cases. And make the federal government pay for any land it uses in your state. Federal government must pay for it. They must ask if they can use it. They must use it for military purposes only, and they must pay for it. Yep. You shouldn't have to pay to go to any national site, any national site. In fact, most of the national sites should be state sites because they're on national, they're on state territory, and they're not authorized, but they were not. The state didn't get paid by the federal government to put it there. Federal government confiscated the land. Where they confiscated all the mountains, call them forestry service. And they charge us. They charge us to go see our own mountains. Hey, Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17 says they cannot do that. But they don't care. This puts chains on the government. Says you cannot take the land from the states. Says it. You can't take the land from your states unless you get permission from the legislature, unless you pay for it, and unless you use it for military purposes. That's all you can do. Nothing more. That's what it says. Paragraph 17. Look at it anytime you want. By the way, I want to mention something else so that there won't be a confusion here. Paragraph 18 of Section 8, Article 1. I'm going to read it to you. This is important. This paragraph's important. So let me just take a second and read this paragraph. Okay, paragraph 18, right here. I'm going to read this. This says, Congress is empowered to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers vested in this Constitution in the governor of the United States or any department or office of the United States, thereof, of the United States. All the laws that they need to do. Well, they passed a law. They passed a law to establish the Federal Reserve. They passed a law to establish the First Bank of the United States in 1791. They passed a law to do the Second Bank of the United States in 1816. Are those laws legal? No, because they're not in accordance with the Constitution itself. The Constitution does not give them permission to violate what's in this, in the rest of the paragraphs of 17. It gives them the opportunity to have other people help them do it. But it doesn't give them the opportunity to abrogate those requirements, those items that they must do. They can just get other people to help them, but they must do the items. So if we look at paragraph 5 of Article 1, Section 8, it says Congress is required to coin money and regulate the value. That's their requirement. They cannot have another organization do that. That's their. But they can pass a law to have somebody else help them do it, but not do it for them. They can't have a private company do it out of the jurisdiction of the United States, of the federal government. They have. That's the first bank of the United States in 1791, the second bank of the United States in 1816, and then the third central bank of the United States in 1913. All took all the power from the government and put all the economic power of the people into that private organization. That's not right. That's unconstitutional. They had no power to do that. And they've been stealing from us ever since. Now, don't think for a minute that the banks were stealing for us from between 1936 and 1913. Oh, yeah, they were still stealing from us. That's another book. That book's called Out of Debt, Out of Danger. Nope, it's called The Coming Battle. That book is called The Coming Battle. And it outlines what happened in the 1860s and 70s, 80s, and 90s, showing how the banks were controlling our country and stealing our money. International banking establishment is the right term for these people. But paragraph 18 does not give them permission to do anything they want. That was discussed in one of the Federalist Papers. If that was the case, then why would we have a constitution at all? That's what Madison said. If the powers of government, they can do anything they want, then why have a constitution? No, the constitution stands. They can just use their power to have people help them do their job. They must do it. They regulate the government. How do you regulate money? By how much you print. How do you regulate how much you print? You print because senators represent the state. And the state will say, no, you can't print all that. You can't do that. That's not in your power. That's our power. So all the stuff that was just listed in that particular $4 trillion bill, all those things belong to the states. None of them belong to the federal government. And if, there wasn't a Federal Reserve they could just go willy-nilly to and borrow money from. Because that's also illegal. Okay? They would have to go to the states to get that $4 trillion, and the states would say, we ain't going to do it. We will not pay it. Now, you and I can't say that, but the states can. And that's exactly what should happen. That was the intent. That's paragraph 5. Okay? That's Article 1, Section of paragraph 2. Article 6, Paragraph 2. That's Article 1, Paragraph Section 8, Paragraph 5, and Paragraph 17, and Paragraph 18. You got the picture here? All these things are in the book. They're all right here. Tell them what to do. Senators, that's in Article 1. Appointed by the state, that's in Article 1. Or their representatives, that's Article 1, so that they can control the spending of the House. Did you know that's what the Senate's job was? To control the spending of the House. That's how you balance the budget. Use this book. It's here. This is how it used to work before 13.
Oh. Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong. Now, today, in today's capital. The Senate, any bills involving money is supposed to originate in the Senate, or am I wrong?
house. They originate in the house. All money bills originate in the house.
In the house. See, I was wrong.
Well, that's okay. I don't mind. That's a small one.
All right.
All Senate bills, all money bills originate in the House.
And the Senate is designed to say, wait a minute, hold on. You can't be doing that, right? Is that
Keep a lid on it. That's what they were for. That's what it was for. Keep a lid on it. Mm-hmm. That's to balance the budget. Right there in the Constitution, it exists. We don't have to have anything else. So this is what happened, let's say, in 1890. Okay? This is what would happen. House of Representatives guys all went home to their districts. And their district says, you know, you're doing a good job, but we want you to do this. Whoops. We want you to do this and this and this and this and this for us. Now, the House member knew that all of those things they wanted him to do were not constitutional, but he wanted to be reelected. So he went back and he and his cronies got together and they built bills to do those things. So that they could satisfy their constituency. So now they wrote the bill up and then they sent it to the Senate. Now the Senate knew that Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3 said direct taxes are on the states. So anything that wasn't paid for by the other methods of the government to get money, i.e. tariffs and things of that sort, excise taxes, that kind of stuff, that's in Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 1. Okay? Says those things. Now, although that didn't make enough money that way, then they had to tax the states directly. Or they had to borrow the money. But they had to borrow the money from an organization that was going to charge them interest, and they had to pay the interest out of the money they got from the states. So they didn't do that either. Okay? Well, they did do it, but they knew they were doing it. So anyway, so there you have it. They knew, the senators knew, that it wasn't unconstitutional, and they also knew that if they passed that, money would be spent and the Fed and the state governments would have to pay it. So they knew that if we pass that, the state government will look at me and say, you ain't staying there. We're replacing you out of there. You've lost your job. Out right now. Not you. You have a term of 6 years, but that's not how long you must stay. You just have to get appointed again in 6 years. But we're not waiting. You're out of there. You're not following the Constitution. You're out of there. You're spending money that I have to give to the federal government to do stuff that's not constitutional to begin with. You're out of there. The senators knew that. They wanted to stay in their job. So they vetoed those bills. They never got to the president. The money was never even talked about. Never got the budget. Never anything. So the international banking establishment, had to change two things. From this book, they had to change two things because they knew the banking system, the Federal Reserve, that they wanted to put in place would not work unless they changed two things. The first thing they changed was they had to get the taxes, the direct taxes from the states to the people. So they did it with the 16th Amendment. And we all ratified it? Yes, we did, because we got told things that weren't true. Yeah, we got told things that weren't true. So everybody said, oh, yeah, let's do that. That's how the government gets you to pass things, by the way. That's how the government gets you to ratify things. They tell you things that are not true so that you'll go along with it. They told everybody that it would only tax 100,000 people that had 100,000 or more, and they would only charge 3% interest. That's what they used to sell it. Okay? Everything they do, they sell to the people by lying to you. That's how it's done. And because you don't know this book, then you don't know they're lying. Okay? Anyway, so here we go. In those days of yore, the senators would know they would lose their job. So they wouldn't pass those bills. So there would be no money spent. So we wouldn't have the problem. We would not have a $28 trillion debt. Now, let me explain something that's also very important to know in this situation. The government can print money. But if the government prints money and then it devalues it, in other words, it's inflationary, there's no interest and there's nobody else that owns it because the government prints it. If the government prints money, it prints it on its own. It's called U.S. dollars. U.S. dollars, not Federal Reserve notes. You notice that? They're called U.S. dollars. And they're for a dollar or for $10, for $20, whatever. The government can print those bills. That is constitutional. That's what it means to coin money. That's what it means. They could do that. That was within their power. Now, things changed over time, and some of those powers were changed a little bit. But the point is, they can print money. So I understand that a man named Kennedy was going to print U.S. dollars. But he didn't, because they had guns. And he didn't. I know Lincoln was going to refuse money from Europe so that he could print his own. That's how they do it. That's how they do it. So we borrow money from an illegal, an unconstitutional organization that's private, and we pay money to this private organization, and they decide how much money we're supposed to have, and we're in terrible inflation. Then the senators were taken away from the people. That's the second thing they had to do. First thing they had to do is get the people paying direct taxes. That's the 16th Amendment. The second thing they had to do, they had to get the power away from the states. How do you get the power away from the states? You take the senators away from the states. Now the states have no more power. The states can't stop anything now. And that's the story. That's the story. So, the rest of the story.
So where does this money end up? I mean, we know, okay, so the Federal Reserve, the big, bad, ugly monster, ugly baby in the room is the Federal Reserve. But where does that Federal Reserve money end up? And why don't we, as America, I mean, well, that's a separate question, but where does that money end up?
Well, first, the federal government goes to them and they said, we want $1 billion. Well, they don't say $1 billion, but let's just use that number.
All right.
We want $1 billion. And they send them a note, a debt, okay? A certificate that says, we'll borrow $1 billion and here's your authority to print it, because it's a private company, okay? So then the private company goes down in the basement. And when the pure air, and the air is very pure in the basement of the Federal Reserve, they go down in the pure air down in there and they create the money out of that pure air. And then they give that to the United States government. Now the United States government can spend the money. Was this what you're supposed to do? The money. Okay. And they don't have to ask anybody. They've got it. They have authority to have debt. It says it in the Constitution. They have authority to have debt. So they, now what happens? That money pays it. How does the federal government distribute that money? We're in economics now, guys. Pay attention. How does the federal government distribute the money? It's in there and they're hiring people to do things, right? They don't just throw it willy-nilly out the window. They hire people to do things. They hire staff in the federal government to do stuff. They hire companies to work for the federal government to do stuff. Okay? They pay those people with checks. And they're getting the money to write those checks from the money they got from the Federal Reserve. So where does it end up? It ends up in the banking system. So all the money that comes winds up in the banking system of our country. Yeah. Even the M3 money winds up in the banking system of our country. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so here we have it. It's in the banking system. Now, the banking system, every time they get $10, they immediately jack it up to 90. Did you know that? If you go into the bank and you deposit $10 or $100 or $1,000, that's the problem with $1,000. $1,000 in a checking account, a deposit account, savings account, that, not a checking, savings. Deposit in a savings account. Okay, that's money that bank has never seen before. That night, the night that that's deposited, they go ka-ching, and they set up the next day $9,000 to be loaned. $9,000 of loans. You put $1,000 in, the next day they capitalize it. That's the term they use to create this money. They say, we capitalize it. So they capitalize it to $9,000. Now that money is also comes from their basement, pure air. Okay? But now they capitalized to $9,000. So the money that came from that $1 billion that came from the Federal Reserve wound up in the federal government, then went to the people, then it went to the banks, and the banks capitalized it at 90 for $9 billion. Got one, they capitalized it at $9 billion. And they loaned out $9 billion. That's the step. That's how it's done. So that's where it ends up. It ends up at $9 billion in our economy. Now, our economy, the value, you remember it said, regulate the value thereof. Our economy value is by how much money is out. Well, that $1 billion was borrowed. That $1 billion flowed through the federal government to the companies that they're working for them and their employees and all that kind of stuff. And the banks got it because that's how the money flows. And the banks then did $9 billion. Now, $9 billion went into the economy. But because the value of money is determined by the amount of money, then the $9 billion went in and prices went up, ding, just a little bit. A penny or two, or a dollar or two, just a little bit. That was only $9 billion. Ding, up went the prices. Why? Because prices are determined by how much money is in the economy and how fast it's moving and how many transactions there are. That's how it's determined. Inflation prices are determined that way. But it does it automatically. That comes from Adam Smith's book, The Wealth of Nations, which I don't say anybody should buy and read, okay? Yeah, I'll teach it to you. Anyway, see, so...
Well, hold on a second. Does this have anything to do, because a lot of people don't know this. As of May of this year, 40% of every dollar printed, 40% was printed between May of 2020 to May of 2021. In other words, when you look at your Federal Reserve notes, the date of issue, 40%, that's 4 out of 10. In fact, it was a little higher than that. Almost half of the dollars in circulation were printed over the last 12 months between May and May of 2021. Does that have anything to do with anything?
No. That's not what I'm referring to.
All right.
Although that is true, they do print more green, but the green is a small part of the total item.
All right.
It's not right that went in green dollars into our economy. That's not what really happened.
Okay. Remember, thanks for that.
Remember, from May of last year to December of this year, or December, whatever, that 6-8 month period that you just talked about, 7 month period, that period. The money that they got, the $4 trillion that they borrowed from the Federal Reserve, that was done by pen and ink, and it went to the federal government, or it went to where the federal government told them to send the money to.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it.
The same way. Anything that comes into the budget goes to wherever the federal government's sending it to. All this welfare we send to all the world comes from our federal government, comes from our money that came from the Federal Reserve that we now owe in our sweat and blood money, that much money, to the Federal Reserve. They did not give or provide any money to the federal government. They provided a pen and ink entry. No money ever flowed.
So, folks, you can be as smart as Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, if you get bathroom economics. There you go. I mean, you can't buy this kind of education out there. We got about 3 minutes left, Richard. The time is yours.
Well, you know, I've just been stressing today the 10th Amendment. I've been stressing it. It's in the podcast, yesterday's podcast, too, the 26th podcast, 27th, 26th podcast. It's in there, too. By the way, that's half a year. But anyway, so the 26th podcast covers this, and we just talked about it. The 10th Amendment puts chains, big chains, ghastly anchors. You ever seen an anchor link, a chain, a link of an anchor chain? They're huge. You don't pick one of those up. No. You have to have cranes to pick one link up. They're huge. If you're in Hawaii, you go over there to the museums over there at the base and look at the chain link, the one chain link that's there. It's about 4 feet, 5 feet high. Anyway, they're big. Those chains are wrapped around the federal government by this hook. And they can't do anything that this book doesn't say they can do.
And there it is. I want to thank you so very much. And folks, in case you missed it and just tuning in now, Richard Proctor did the unthinkable. He did the, I'm telling you, he lost his mind. I don't know. But for a C-note, $100, you can get his Liberty Series out the door. Call him. Call him. If you don't do it, and you want the Liberty Series, if you don't do it now, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with you, man. Do it. All right. Richard Proctor, thank you, man. Thank you for that generous offer. And
we had a good day.
Yeah, we did, man. We did.
And I did get carried away.
You're on fire. I love it. I love to bring that fire out on Richard Proctor. Folks, that'll do it for us tonight. May God bless each and every one of you. Until tomorrow, stay safe.
Have a good day.
All right.
Yes.
Good night.